Welcome to Vital Voices, where we bring you meaningful conversations on health, wellness, and everything in between. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows, and today we're addressing a topic that touches so many lives, especially during this time of year, coping with loss during the holiday season. Joining me today is Dr. Rashida Brown-Clark, a psychiatrist who specializes in helping individuals navigate the complexities of grief and emotional healing. Together, we'll explore the challenges of grieving during the holidays, share strategies for managing this difficult time, and discuss how to support loved ones who may be struggling. Whether you've experienced a recent loss or are looking for ways to help someone close to you, this episode offers insights and practical advice to guide you through the season with compassion and care. Let's dive in. Today, we are talking about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and that's navigating loss and grief during the holiday season. So in the past few months, I've talked off and on about my own personal story of loss on this platform and on others. But today we want to kind of dive in and go through, what the process of navigating loss looks like, especially around the holidays. So for me, back in April of 2020, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. We went through a lot of the, ups and downs of trying to get treatment, the whole nine. And in December of 2021, she passed away from cancer. And it was roughly about, a week and a half, 2 weeks before Christmas when she passed. So, it's been 3 years now. This will be our third Christmas without her. And it's always a difficult time of the year. I've always seen people online talk about how hard it is when you approach Christmas time and you have a loved one that you've lost. And experiencing it for myself, I could say it really is difficult. So even for me, as recently as a few days ago, I was sitting down at home with my family and we had just Christmas music on, and it was the old school Christmas songs, like your Jackson 5, your Bing Crosby's, that era of Christmas music. And, in the moment of listening to it, I felt that kind of sadness. And it's just because the music reminded me so much of Christmases as a child, because that's the music that we would hear on the radio around the house during that time of year. And so it just kind of took me back to the place of remembering Christmas with my mom, and then the realization that she's not here. And then also for our family, we lost my dad 6 months after my mom passed. And so you kind of have all of that tied up into one. So I know for me personally, the difficulty of going through the season, especially because we lost her so close to Christmas. So we are joined today by Dr. Rashida Brown-Clark, who is a psychiatrist that works within the Doctors Hospital Health System. And she's here with us to talk through this topic that I'm sure is going to be timely. And hopefully the conversation is helpful for a lot of our listeners who may be trying to figure this out for themselves. I have my cousins lost their aunt earlier this year. So I know their mom, earlier this year. And I know this may be difficult for them as well. And there are a lot of other people like that who are going through, their first Christmas or your 20th Christmas without someone that you love. And it's because I think the holidays are such a time of remembrance, reflection, and then it's also a time that's so connected to family that it tends to be very difficult to get through. So we are, like I said, joined today by Dr. Rashida Brown-Clark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And so we're happy to have you on. I like to get to know people a little bit in their background and how they got to where they are before we dive into conversation. So can you tell us a little bit about your background, your work in psychiatry, and how it is that you ended up becoming a psychiatrist?
So my journey into medicine started when I was actually finishing undergrad. Mm-hmm. I went to a small liberal arts school in Wisconsin. And I was always in the science areas. I did my associate's degree in biochem at COB. And then I went off and I did, I think it was medical biology degree at liberal arts school. And at the end of it, what do I do with this? And medicine seemed to be a fitting choice at that time. So I wouldn't lie to anybody and tell them that I wanted to be a doctor from the time I learned to walk. It was a bit of a practical decision. And I went into medicine. I studied at the University of the West Indies there, St. Augustine campus in Trinidad. And then I had to finish my clinical rotations here at home. And I did not enjoy my psychiatry rotation as a clinical student. But I did decide to go and do psychiatry at the end of internship. We had an elective period, and I spent half of that elective period in public health and quickly decided that there was no way that I would ever stay in public health. And half of it I went back to psychiatry. And I honestly can't tell you why I chose psychiatry at the time, because I really didn't feel that I had a connection or was interested in it in my early years. But when I went back for that 3 months, I think it was at the time, I thoroughly enjoyed my time. I realized that the human brain is amazing, and so I got a great sense of relief is not the word, but it was so nice to see somebody who was very severely mentally ill get treated and improve and, leave hospital coherent, better mood, able to have good conversation. And I found that very rewarding. And it was an area that nobody was interested in. So we had very few psychiatrists, very, very few psychiatrists at the time, trained psychiatrists. And that spoke to the area not attracting very many people. And so that is what I did. And I do not regret the choice. I do think that it is a wonderful area to practice. And I do enjoy helping people with severe mental illness. So that's a bit of my history. I spent 20 years in public practice. And now, the last year and some months, totally private practice with the Doctors Hospital Health System.
Okay. It's interesting. You do have a lot of people who come with a story of, from they were a baby. They knew they wanted to go into medicine. So it is interesting to hear a story that's a little bit different. And I'll say this gently in case it comes across as a negative, but you do give the demeanor of someone who fits in the role that you're in. I'll put it that way. You seem well fit for the space that you're in. So
Thank you.
let's get into
I can
this.
only say thank you.
I know, right? So let's get into this topic a little bit. Why is the holiday season often such a difficult time for those who are grieving a loss?
It is a very difficult time because holiday seasons, especially something like Christmas, is typically a holiday season in the Bahamas where family spend time together. We tend to have many family activities, church activities, and church is usually where family meet at a point as well. And so when you lose someone, especially someone that you're very close to, I'm so sorry to hear about you and the story with your parents, but when you lose parents, children, aunts, or anybody that you are very close to, and they're not around in the Christmas season, and you've become accustomed to having these family celebrations, doing things together as a family, that is going to be very difficult. And many people go through that, whether they lose the person around Christmas time or not. Just the fact that this is a time that is seen as a time for family is going to be difficult for many, many people.
Right. You know, what are some of the common emotional challenges that people face during this time?
There's grief. And mm-hmm. this is a time when people realize that grief does not end. So before, years ago, the thought was that you experienced grief for a period of a year, and in a year, all went back to normal. We know now that that is utter garbage, mm-hmm. and that grief, unfortunately, is a never-ending roller coaster, is what I explain to people. So you are on this roller coaster most times for the rest of your life. But what should happen with time is that the roller coaster ride becomes a bit more bearable. So it goes from completely unbearable to a little more bearable as time goes on, and you're able to function and cope a lot better as time goes on. So grief is one of those things. And then, of course, depression can be more significant, worse around this period of time. Anxiety as well. So things like depression, anxiety, grief, complicated grief are what we are most concerned about around the holiday season.
Right. So, you know, in trying to understand the grieving process, because you said it is kind of like a roller coaster, you know, what does that process typically look like? And then how does it manifest during the holidays, I guess, in any way that may be different from other times of the year?
I don't know if it may be different in that it is more intense. So I will answer the last part of the question first. So it may be more intense around the holiday season because it is so family oriented.
Right.
And in terms of how it manifests, it's just the surge of painful feelings, sadness, emotions that you become accustomed to during the grieving process. And I answered the last part of your question first, and I kind of forgot the first part. So just remind me of the first part.
No problem. So what does the grieving process typically look like?
Okay, sure. So it is feelings of sadness and emotion. We would talk about stages of grief years ago, where you would have denial, anger, mm-hmm. bargaining, depression, acceptance, but that those stages are no longer accepted, because you can have all of them, one of them, sometimes none of them. So we do not talk about the stages of grief, but I do think that in many cases people experience one, two, three of those things. So there could be denial, there can be anger, some bargaining, you know, if I do this, would God allow this person to come back? The depression that comes with grief, as well as a certain amount of acceptance maybe with time. Mm-hmm. But everybody is not going to experience all of those stages, and some people may only have one or two.
Okay. Are there any specific triggers that make the holiday season harder for those experiencing loss?
I do think the activities that are common during this period, there are a lot more family activities planned, mm-hmm. you know, gatherings at people's homes. Is where for me, for instance, I've lost an uncle, well, two uncles, a cousin, and this was our season growing up. This was right. One home for Christmas Day, one home for Boxing Day, typically my home with my parents and sister, someone else's home for Christmas Sunday. So there were families, core families, that all got together around Christmas time. And now we have, one family, both parents are gone, and one of those families, the daughter has passed as well.
Oh boy.
And then another uncle in another home that we would typically go to. So that's two homes that we no longer visit around Christmas time. And
Right.
so, the gatherings are not the same. We do still do something, but it is very scaled down. So those are the types of triggers. And then activities like junk canoe. So two of those people that I mentioned, huge junk canoe participants as well as observers. And so that has a slightly different meaning now for some of us, because you just think of that activity and those people. So I think there are certain triggers, gatherings, events, services, music, you mentioned, very important. So caroling, most families, I think, are engaged, church or otherwise, and so even the music can be a big trigger.
I mean, I know for me personally, like I said, it's been a little over 3 years now, and music has been one of the biggest triggers for me when it comes to, I guess, my feelings of grief and sadness when it comes to both of my parents. And I think maybe it's dependent upon, like you said, either what you shared with them specifically, or just what may be important in your own life. So like, I'm someone who's very into music, and so perhaps that's why for me, that may be more of a trigger than maybe for someone else. And I do think, like like you said, the family gathering. So like, I know for us, my mom was the matriarch, and so we would have Christmas breakfast at her home. Especially since my niece was born, she's the eldest of the grandchildren. So for the better part of, 10, 11 years, especially at that point, we would have Christmas breakfast by my mom's house, every year. And so, we're going now on 3 years of not having done that. And it really does, like, it's all of those sorts of things that come into play. When you talk about experiencing that sadness, because you feel a sense of loss even more, because it's like that's just a thing that doesn't happen anymore, or at least if it does, it doesn't happen in the same way, because you have, someone who was a pillar of that whole experience who's no longer here.
Agreed. Definitely agree.
Are there any differences in how people experience grief differently, or if grief affects them differently, based on factors like age, culture, or even the type of loss that they've experienced?
Well, there is a concept of complicated griefs, and this is when the symptoms are chronic and unremitting, so that the person really doesn't get a break from the feeling of depression, sadness. The strong emotion is just always there, and that can happen more typically in parents who have lost children, especially if they've lost children tragically. So we do have that occurring. I'm not quite sure if there would be a difference culturally. I think the only difference may be if Christmas is not as important as it is for us here in the Bahamas, because there are some places, for example, in the United States, I think Christmas is still a big holiday for many Americans, but Thanksgiving has a bit more importance for them. So, Thanksgiving might be a time where they are hit hardest by loss, and maybe not so much us, because that's not something that we celebrate, but definitely for us, Christmas would be our big time. Easter is also one of those important times for many Bahamians. So I do think that there can be some differences, and everybody is affected differently in some way, because we're all different. We all have different personalities, and some people are able to compartmentalize a bit better than others. And then there are always those people that are more emotional at baseline, and so their grief is going to usually come with a lot more emotional expression, crying. But we have to accept that everybody is different. Everybody is going to do it differently, and we should have some respect for those differences.
Right. You know, I think a part of it here too is, you know, is it different if the loss is like sudden and unexpected? Does that have any impact on the feelings of grief, or is that more so, like you said, about the person experiencing it and less so about the nature of how the loss came about?
I don't know. I've not looked that up specifically, to be quite honest with you. I have wondered that. If it is easier when you know that this is happening or going to happen,
right.
Or is it more difficult when it happens very suddenly? I don't know, because I've heard people say that it is very difficult no matter how it happens.
Right.
So very difficult because maybe very difficult when you anticipate it, because you are anticipating it. You are you have that heightened anxiety that, you know, the end is drawing near, and you would love to be able to prolong it as much as possible, and then you realize that you cannot, you have no control. And
right.
So I can see where kind of the anticipation of somebody passing away can be as difficult as it is when you do lose someone suddenly, tragically.
I mean, I know for me, I think the one thing I can say from my personal experience is, you know, I would say we probably kind of felt like, you know, the end was near probably for about a month or two before mom passed. What I'm grateful for in kind of hindsight, looking at the whole process, was, you know, kind of seeing that happened slowly gave us the opportunity to, you know, people talk about having that deathbed experience, you know, being able to kind of say your piece. And, you know, if there's things that were unsaid and emotions that were unexpressed, or, you know, differences that weren't hashed out, you have that opportunity. And I wonder if maybe, you know, that may be a part of why people sometimes may feel like it's a little bit, it might be a little bit easier, so to speak. It's not easy, but that it might be a little bit easier to navigate it when you've had the opportunity to at least say your piece.
And I do think that can make it easier for some people, but then there are those people that don't discuss what is going on. And I know many people, you know, and I'm always left wondering, well, why didn't you, or how did you not have these conversations before the person passed, because you knew that is what was going to happen? But there are many people who don't. It's just too difficult to have certain discussions. It's too difficult to acknowledge that this thing is going to happen. So there are many people who don't do what you suggested that your family did, because for them, the acknowledgement is just too difficult at the time.
Yeah. And then sometimes relationships are just complicated, you know?
Yes, agreed.
Depending on what level of emotions are involved, personal history, trauma, things like that. There's a lot of things that potentially get in the way of expressing those.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, At Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Kalina.com to pay today. Kalina, always here, always open, 24/7.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Valor Security. Our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So let's look at, you know, I guess trying to go through some practical strategies for coping with grief, especially during this time. Obviously, we can talk about this from a broad spectrum, but also with a shining a light on the holidays part of it. But what are some practical steps that someone can take to cope with grief during the holidays?
Well, this one I think is important. Something that I shared on a podcast yesterday, and I would like to share again because I feel like I'm doing this a bit more this year, but dwelling not dwelling on ideal holidays of the past. Mm. And I've found for myself that I've been thinking a lot about what we did in the past years ago. Have not done in recent years, I would say the last maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. And just not dwelling on that, because that can actually make things worse. You want to remember, and you shouldn't avoid the memories and the thoughts, but you should not allow yourself to dwell on what has passed, and kind of give yourself the opportunity to look at what is in front of us now and what you are going to do for the future. Also, setting realistic goals. So if you know that you have the tendency or may have the tendency to get very overwhelmed, you cannot do an activity every day of the Christmas week and weekend, mm-hmm. then you have to be realistic with what you can do, with what you want to do, and make sure that you do set realistic goals and some boundaries. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's difficult with families to set those boundaries, because there are always going to be those people like, oh man, you know, you just need to come and get out. You can't just be sad at home, and so and so wouldn't want you to be doing that, and to a certain extent it could be helpful, but it could also not be what you need for a particular time and space. Mm-hmm. So being able to set realistic goals and boundaries and prioritizing your commitments, you know, I am committed to do X, Y, and Z, but maybe I'll do Y first, and then I'll get to Z, and then I'll get to X. So being able to go through your commitments and prioritize them, and being able to pace yourself as well. So doing as much as you can when you can, and not trying to do too much.
Right.
And overspending is a big one. So not spending more than you have to create an experience, a holiday experience. Everybody tends to overspend or want to overspend during the Christmas. But like I just said yesterday, January is 365 days long. And so if you are only paid, even if you're paid twice in January is still a very long month after the Christmas holidays. So you have to be prepared. Yes, you want to enjoy this time, but you also want to make sure that you can live in January, because a financial stress will make you even more depressed or anxious. So you'll build on any grief, depression, anxiety that you have during the Christmas. And reaching out to family and friends is advisable. You wanna spend time with the people that you love and that are here with us now, and build new memories, create new memories sometimes with those people, and share the tasks. So I was saying that my mother is going to be cooking 90% of our Christmas meal. But, you know, 10% of that will be shared between my sister and I. So trying to share tasks, maybe we should be sharing more for tasks with families and friends, and not trying to take on everything.
Right.
And then they do have, for stress management, especially during the Christmas time, they talk about support groups. We do not have very much of that in the Bahamas when it comes to support groups, and I think that we could do and probably will do a better job when it comes to having support groups, grief support groups included, as we progress and get better with helping people with their mental health.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, you talked about this a little bit, but I kind of want to go in, I guess, a little bit deeper. But how would you advise people to balance, you know, honoring the memory of a loved one with celebrating the season?
So that is going to be a tightrope, because it's going to come with a flood of emotions, because you still want those people to be a part of what you do in some way. And I think creating new memories is keeping them a part of that experience. You know, doing some of the things that they enjoy doing, maybe doing some of the things like you mentioned, the breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be very difficult, because you already have the memories of Christmas past, but it may be the opportunity, and I'm not putting any pressure on you, but you know, I'm just using it as an example. That mm-hmm. may be the opportunity to create new memories and to keep the spirit of who you've lost alive. By continuing that tradition. So continuing some traditions that you may have shared with people that you've lost, people that you miss, and also doing the things that you enjoy doing, and pushing yourself to do the things that you enjoy doing. So if you are somebody who goes to Junkanoo, loves Junkanoo, but may not be feeling it this year because of loss, grief, depression, anxiety, maybe pushing yourself to go out to the parade. So I have someone now who would always participate and no interest in participation, too late now maybe to participate, but just trying to encourage her to go out and watch the parade. And try to enjoy it in that way, in a new way. So pushing ourselves to do a little more during the holidays when we may not want to do it is very helpful, especially with things that make us very anxious.
Okay. You know, obviously we talked about the idea of routines and traditions and how they may exacerbate the grief or make the grief more. But, you know, is there a positive role that routines and traditions can play in managing grief during the holidays? Like, is there a flip side to it? Sometimes you find comfort in routine.
Yes, there is. I think there's a lot of comfort in routines and traditions. But again, understanding that if you have to step away and cry, or even step out into the bed, into the backyard and scream, you know, that is understandable, because it is going to be difficult. The further along you are on your journey, maybe the easier it is, but when that will happen, nobody knows. And so it may be 10 years, 15 years, where you still have the waves of strong emotion at certain times.
Right.
So understanding that it there is a role for tradition and routines, and it does make things easier because you're just kind of going through the motions. But understanding that when you experience surges of emotion during those times, that you may need to step away and have your minute or hour to yourself. And this is important also for people who have children. You know, children learn from us, and they learn what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. Bottling up feelings, not dealing with them, not showing emotion, that is truthfully not normal, and that is not helpful. But if our children can see us appropriately grieve, cry, scream out, you know, they have an understanding of what is appropriate and how they themselves will navigate their own grief and loss when the time comes.
Right. I mean, I think the thing that, you know, I'm learning every day, it seems, as a parent, is that, you know, children will model what they see you do.
Definitely.
And that is, in all of the ways that we can think about and all of the ways we often don't think about, right? And so I think, you know, it is in the same way. I think this may be one of the ways where we don't often think about. So it is, you know, it is something to consider, in that they are learning from what they see and what they watch, and how they kind of see you navigate grief and loss as well as their parent.
Agreed.
You know, we live in a time where the phrase self-care gets thrown around a lot. But in this instance, you know, are there any self-care practices or just mental health tips that you would recommend for someone who may be struggling emotionally during this time?
I've said this so many times today, but I think it is important to give ourselves time, space, grace when we feel like we are not able to cope, or we feel like we're being too emotional, or maybe should not be emotional because so much time has passed. We have to feel how we feel, and we have to learn how to cope with it and deal with it. So it's just allowing ourselves to understand that this is normal to a certain degree, and when it is not normal, listening to ourselves or being able to look at ourselves and listen to people around us. Sometimes we don't have the insight to really understand and accept when it might not be normal. But when the people around us who know us well, who know us best, are telling us, well, I think you should do something about this. I think you should see someone, listening to them, because that's a part of self-care, taking care of ourselves, taking ourselves to therapy when we need it, doing the grief counseling when we need it. So not enough people think about grief counseling when they feel like it's been going on for too long. They right. don't think about grief counseling as soon as someone passes, or maybe even before they pass, getting into counseling and therapy in order to deal with end of life situations right. that may transition into ongoing grief therapy. So that is a big part of self-care. Therapy, individual therapy, grief counseling is a part of our self-care. Taking time to look after ourselves, making sure that we, again, follow somewhat of a routine. It is important to get out of bed. It is important to bathe. It is important to brush our teeth. If and when we don't feel like it, we push ourselves to do these things, because that is a part of normal life. That is a part of functioning and coping. So all of those things are important, taking time for ourselves. Somebody yesterday said, because I would typically say sometimes we have to be a bit selfish, but apparently it's not being selfish, it's being selfful. So pouring into ourselves by taking a step back and a step away, looking after ourselves so that we can help those around us, family members who may be going through the same thing. Right. And that could be your just alone time, going to a movie, going out to dinner, going and sitting in the mall by yourself and just watching people as they pass by, going and getting nails done. Did I say massage already? If I didn't, a massage, I should say that again, a massage. But doing things for ourselves that make us feel better, and that just gives us some time to ourselves and by ourselves. So I think those are some of the important things that we can do as a part of our self-care. Exercise, is another important one. A walk. We don't think of exercise. Sometimes it's just taking a walk, but that is exercise. Going out into the garden and doing some gardening. Gardening is a hell of an exercise that we often don't think about. So spending time in the garden can be very helpful, and that's a part of being with nature, which is also very helpful. Yeah. So those are some of the things that we can do for self-care.
I chuckled to myself when you said people watching, because you don't have to threaten me with a good time like that. My wife and I definitely get a kick out of people watching. It's just out in the world in general.
Same here. When people say they don't have anything to do, like on a cruise, I've been on one cruise, and some of my best moments were just sitting on the deck, just watching people. I wasn't watching a screen. I wasn't on my phone. I'm just there looking and watching what people are doing, and I had the best time.
See, but then you practicing, right? This is like, at this point now, you reading people for all of their... language.
I promise you, it was very superficial. Very superficial. Oh. No. I try people think that all the time, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if you were to ask me some of what I'm thinking, it may seem very, very deep and overly analytical. But I do try to turn that off if I am just out and about socializing. I try. Understood.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Kalina.com to pay today. Kalina, always here, always open 24/7.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Valor Security. Our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
All right. You know, one of the things that I think sometimes is difficult is when you're, you know, another person in the grieving person's life, in trying to figure out how to provide support. So how would you recommend family members and friends support someone who is grieving during the holidays?
We have to learn what to say. And I, even as a psychiatrist, I am still learning, because I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. So this is how that's my caveat. Yeah, I am not a therapist, so I too have to learn, you know, what is appropriate to say and what is inappropriate to say. So it's important to kind of maybe look that up, and everything is on the internet nowadays, everything. So even when you're going into a situation, just Googling, you know, what is appropriate to say or inappropriate to say to somebody who is grieving, and you may tweak that a bit, but at least you have some guidelines. So knowing what to say and knowing when to just step away. Knowing that, you know, you make yourself available to someone if and when they want you to be available. You don't have to step away completely and then, you know, take the stance that some people do. Oh, well, you won't call me, so I wasn't about to call you, you know. But understand that you can be there, you can check in, but when the person kind of gently suggests now is not a good time, mm-hmm. knowing when to step back and say, okay, you know, I know this is not a good time, but I'm not going to let you go 2 weeks without checking on you or without hearing from you. I'm going to check back on up on you tomorrow. I'll send you a text. Can you please answer and just let me know how things are going? So we have to know when to step in. I will say this, and I have to say this about Bahamians, because I am Bahamian and this is what I know. I think this whole idea of being at somebody's home as soon as you get news that somebody has passed away and coming in droves, but expecting to have a meal, expecting for people to water you, to feed you. It is something that disturbs me to no end. I remember being at a family member's home. They just lost their father. Young girls just lost their father. A woman who just lost her husband. And they're asking these girls, people are asking these girls, oh, you think you could get me one of those sodas out the cooler? You think you could get me a plate of food? You think, no, get up and get your own plate of food. Get up and get your own drink. Get them a drink. Tell them to sit down. And you're laughing because I know you understand. Mm-hmm. So we as family members, and family members do it. It's not just the neighbors, the strangers, the friends. We have to know when something that we're doing is inappropriate, and I think that's very inappropriate. And then what we do is we stop visiting as soon as the funeral is over. Mm-hmm. We as soon I can always, you go to the house the day after, and if you go before, you always meet 20, 30, 40 cars. Mm-hmm. But you go the day after the funeral or 2 days after the funeral, not one car. That sometimes might be the best time to spend with someone because there's no one else there.
Yeah. And now they're faced with the reality of there's a sense of closure, so to speak, when the funeral is done, but now it's like they're trying to come to grips with what does life now look like without this person. And sometimes that's even harder than preparing for, the funeral and everything else that goes along with that.
Agreed, because you're going on adrenaline. Mm-hmm. before the funeral. There's so much to do, mm-hmm. there's so much to get to accomplish before the funeral, and then after the funeral, that is when you're left like, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. Now we're expected to get on with life. We're expected to get back to work. And that can be very depressing for many people. So it's just being there and being able to offer support and being appropriate, mm-hmm. at all stages. I think that's the most important thing. Yes, you want to encourage people to do things and to get out, but when they say enough is enough, let them be, but don't back away totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a matter of finding balance, because sometimes when people push you away, there is a level of, they may need someone to step in and just kind of go a little bit beyond their comfort zone. But the idea of you just, kind of pushing your way in no matter what, that isn't often the right way.
No.
It is interesting, like going back to your first point, I think, what I remember as a kid when we would visit someone, a family member, a friend who had lost someone, we would be bringing the sodas or the food, and you've given it to the family, and you're there in that sort of support role. I find it interesting that people would come in with the idea of, well, somebody come serve me. It's like you have the entirely wrong perception of what's happening.
Definitely. Now, some of these people are bringing the things, you know, they bring in the drinks and they bring in the food, but they're the same ones that are sitting down expecting somebody to still serve them the food and serve them the drinks. And I feel like I just see that too often. And you see it too at repast. After the funeral, you know, many times that might be an acceptable time to cater to the people who have lost, but I feel like sometimes there's an expectation that the family must do something for family and friends, so they have to put on this event, and they are sometimes forced to participate in this event when they really don't want to.
Yeah. You know, we talked about family members and friends, but obviously, you know, work takes a big chunk of a lot of people's lives. You know, is there, anything that workplaces or even communities can do to create supportive environments for those who are experiencing grief?
I think as a community, we could probably, you know, this is where groups, and I guess that's community as a whole. So set up groups, appropriate peer support groups, grief groups would be important. And the neighbors, of course, just checking in on somebody that you know is going through a rough time, just looking in. As a immediate community member, looking in on these people and helping them as much as possible. The workplace is very tricky because I am not in human resources. I tell people I'm not a business owner, never owned a business. So I don't work in human resources. So I generally feel like I cannot speak about it from that perspective. But I do think that there should be some flexibility. I don't know. And somebody in human resources may be able to speak to this a lot better than I can. But is there a model where you can be more flexible with your compassionate leave? Not only the number of days, is it reasonable to expect a mother who loses their child to report back to work after, what is it, 5 days? What do you get for compassionate leave? Right. 5 days, I think.
Some places are less than that. Some places, yes, for first degree relatives, it's like 2 or 3 days. It's dependent upon your workplace.
So exactly. So 2 or 3 days, if you have lost a child. I think that is unreasonable, a first degree relative. And then we also have to be flexible, I think, with who we include. So you have your friend, and I understand that there's a stipulation because it can be excessive, but who is to say that my maternal aunt, who raised me, is like my mother or my grand aunt, or a cousin, a much older cousin, that raised me, that took on a maternal role. And even if they did not take on a maternal role, I am still exceptionally close to that person and hit very hard by their death. So I think there could be some flexibility. I understand that you have to balance the needs of the workplace with the needs of the individual, but if you want to establish yourself as a caring employer, you have to build in some flexibility. Having staff that you can say have been with you for 30 years, not just because you are a safe place to work and you don't fire anybody under any circumstances because you can't afford to, but because they love the environment, they love being there, they love how they are treated and respected. I think you can do so much better. I believe, and again, this is coming from somebody who is not a business owner, but I feel like you probably will do so much better when you have staff that are with you that feel supported, that feel like this is a nurturing work environment, mm-hmm. as opposed to an oppressive, uncaring, inflexible one, right. or unflexible.
Okay. So as we wrap up our conversation, you know, are there any resources or tools that you would recommend for individuals who are navigating loss during the holidays? And I guess, what is the threshold at which someone, you know, may need professional help, and what should they do to seek it?
People talk about professional help, therapy. Therapy, I guess, is professional help, but therapy is a reasonable first early step. Mm-hmm. So you should seek objective support from a counselor, an advisor, a trained therapist, a psychologist, as soon as possible. That is an easy first step. Obviously, if you are at a point where it's going on for weeks and you are unable to function, you are unable to cope, your days are darker than they are bright, and that is consistent and unremitting, then obviously there's the need to escalate. And if you have not been seeing a therapist or a counselor, then that is the time that you probably should seek out professional help if you haven't done it already. So not allowing yourself to remain in bed or remain isolated for weeks on end. Hopefully there's family around you or friends around you that can say, look, Something is off. I understand that you're going through something. I understand that you're grieving, but I think that you need to see someone. That is very important. So, you know, we talk about a threshold for professional help, but the first steps of professional help can be sought very easily and should mm-hmm. be sought very early and quickly.
Okay. So I guess, what would be your one key message that you would like our listeners to take away when it comes to coping with loss during this season?
Be fair to yourselves and do not expect to be able to just act in a way that you think that you will be able to act in a way where that person did not exist or where you will not feel the impact of that person. Allow yourself to feel and allow yourself to experience the emotion and learn the ways to cope with that emotion when it does happen. I think that's the take home.
Okay. And obviously, you know, for our listeners, if they are interested in setting up a time to meet with you, if they feel like they're already at a point where they need to seek help from a professional, even if it's from a psychiatrist first and not necessarily a psychologist, how can they get in contact with you? How can they book an appointment to see you?
So I am now with Doctors Hospital Health System. As I mentioned, I work out of the specialist clinic at Doctors Hospital West on Blake Road. Mm-hmm. And that telephone number is 302-4710, 302-4710. And if somebody wants to email me, which I have no problem with, just to run something by me, get my advice on what they should do, if they need to come and see me, or if they should start with a therapist or a psychologist, they can email me at Rashida, R-A-S-H-I-D-A, Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, at doctors, D-O-C-T-O-R-S, HOSP, H-O-S-P, .com. So I do respond to emails. I'm pretty decent at that. So you can reach out to me if you have any questions or concerns, and I can point you in the right direction, or use the telephone number that I gave for the front desk at Doctors Hospital West.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Clark, for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today. I'm sure that this conversation was helpful for our listeners, and we look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Thank you so much, Alexis. All the very, very best, and I do hope that you are able to enjoy your holidays a bit more.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, you too.
Thank you for joining us on this special episode of Vital Voices, where we explored the complexities of navigating loss during the holiday season with Dr. Rashida Brown Clark. We hope today's discussion has offered you insight, comfort, and practical tools to help you or your loved ones through this challenging time. Remember, it's okay to feel what you're feeling and to take the time you need to heal. If you or someone you know is struggling, don't hesitate to seek professional help or reach out to trusted friends and family for support. On behalf of the Vital Voices team, I'm Alexis Burrows. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time as we continue to bring you stories and conversations that empower, inspire, and uplift. Take care, and may peace and hope find you this holiday season.